All right, I'd like to call the May 5th appropriate pool meeting to order. And I've already been told we do have a quorum. So hopefully everybody has the agendas. Were there any adjustments, changes, or adds to the agenda after it was sent out? Seeing none. Okay, before us we have consent calendar items A, B, and C. Would any members like to pull any of those consent calendar items? Seeing none.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item two, business items. Item A, outside audit firm. Desi, does staff like to go over that item?
I am going to have our CEO make a small CFO. Presentation. I'm sorry, CFO. What did I say? CEO. CFO.
That's you.
Make a small presentation on that one.
Thank you, Desi. If you recall, back in March of this year, we sent out a RFP to 16 local and regional audit firms. The reason for that was we had been with Meyer Hoffman & Camp for basically 12 years. Prior to that, the audit firm of Conrad & Associates, we had them for 7 years, Meyer Hoffman & Camp for 5 years, so it was definitely time to go out and do an RFP. Of the 16 local firms that we sent out RFP notices to, we received six signed back, and the prices ranged anywhere from $70,000 up to $147,000. So of the six, after making phone calls and doing our due diligence and my due diligence, we respectfully request that we hire the firm of Charles Fiat as our auditors. If you look at their experience, they're currently doing Western Municipal right now. They're also doing Monta Vista Water District. There's three or four other large agencies that they're doing for, and the folks that I've talked to, it's a very highly qualified firm, and their prices are basically the exact same what we're paying now.
All right, are there any questions from the pool?
Mr. Chair, just one comment. Just want to thank staff for doing this. It's always good once in a while to go out there and get RFPs, see what's out there. Always get the best firm for the job, so thank you.
Thank you very much. It's very interesting when you see the prices as they came back in. Again, anywhere from $9,000 a year up to $25,000, I believe was the highest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there any comments? Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, business item B, proposed fiscal year 2011-12 budget.
This is another item that Joe will also be making a presentation on, and I understand it's been the subject of previous discussions already, so hopefully there will be further clarification in today's presentation.
Just kind of as a quick reminder of where we've been, the month of March, we basically worked on the budget. The month of April, we presented it to the three pools. We did the workshop, and we also presented the budget to the advisory and to the board. And the budget that I'm going to show you today is basically the Sherilyn. That's not the right presentation. The one should be dated April 4th.
You're all well, it's upset, it's not a single de mile.
All right, maybe while Jerry's trying to clarify that issue, the chair might want to move on to the next part of the agenda, and then we can come back to this presentation.
Sounds good. Next agenda item are reports from General Legal Counsel.
Yeah, just a few things to report on. The first is the paragraph 31 appeal. There's not much additional to report on that from the reports given to the advisory committee and the board. We're currently working on our reply to the appeal, and that will be due on May 17th, and we anticipate filing that on time. The second item, the restated Water Master judgment. If you recall, after the hearings on the paragraph 31 motion, the judge instructed us to prepare a restated judgment. We started working on that. There have been issues. We've been dealing with those. But when Mr. Manning left, we sort of put the project on hold. One, in order to save costs for the remainder of the fiscal year, but also because we thought this would be a good job for Mr. Alvarez to come in with so that he could get to know the judgment and all that kind of stuff. So now that he's here, we're going to begin that project and put it back on the burner. And again, the idea is to update the judgment, put it in a form so that somebody can open it and know what's going on, and they don't have to be wading through 30 years of documents to try to figure out what our judgment says. And then the policy manual also wraps into that. So we're going to put that back on the burner and get that project going. And the presentation's up now, but I just have another item, so I'll finish up. The third item is a request from California Steel for an assessment package correction. This is something that was put into place by the Piece 2 agreement, that if there are errors in the assessment package or actually anywhere in Water Master's records, parties have a number of years to request that those errors be fixed and that revisions occur. On the 19th of April, California Steel provided a letter to Water Master identifying an error in the assessment package concerning joint rights held between them and Aqua Capital Management. So we've received that letter, just wanted to distribute it to everybody so that everybody's aware of the issue. We've not had a response yet from Aqua Capital Management, so there's been no analysis of this or proposed response from Water Master. We'll wait to see what the dialogue between the two relevant parties is before Water Master does anything. And so I'm happy to answer questions about any of the report items. One thing that's not on the agenda, though, is that Brownstein's Aqua party is on Tuesday, so anyone who's going to Aqua, if you didn't receive an invitation and want to come to our party, let me know, because everyone's invited.
Anybody have any questions, Michael? All right, so we have the presentation teed up. Would you guys like to go back to that budget item?
We will, and Joe will take off with it.
Thank you. I apologize for that little snafu. Again, I think I'm basically making the comments that the pools had seen a revised different versions of the budget. Basically, the budget that we're bringing today for approval. Our expenses, $6.2 million in all three categories, both the G&A is below the amended budget by 16%. The OBMP, below the amended budget of $245,000 or 14.4%. And the implementation projects below budget compared to the amended $226,000. The proposed assessments for this, the same as what was provided at the board of directors, $3.43 for the G&A expenses, which is 6 cents lower than it was actually paid last year. The OBMP implementation projects, $41.89 or 12 cents less than what was paid the previous year, for a total of 18 cents. These items down here, the April 7th, that's what was originally shown a month ago at the appropriative pool meeting. The April 12th is what was shown at the workshop, and the April 21st is what was shown at the advisory. This is a view of what the assessments look like. There's your 6 cents, there's the 12 cents. for a total of 18 cent savings. This does include the 30% reserve for both the administrative and the OBMP. It's about $1.7 million. I've estimated that we'll have around $1.9 million available under this scenario, so that's about a $200,000 net funds that could be given back to offset the assessments. Again, price of $734 and $4189. The Wildermuth budget, as we've stated before, this includes not only the Wildermuth fees and services, but it also includes other outside contractors and laboratory fees. The budget, $2.3 million, which is $100,000 less than what the previous budget was. One of the items that came out of the worksheet or out of the workshop was the request to basically take the Wildermuth budget of 2.3 and with staff and Wildermuth basically go back and break this down into what's physically required and actually required as part of the judgment and what funds are in essence discretionary. We've gone back through, staff and Wildermuth have gone through, and we've proposed this green column right here. So of the $2.3 million that could be spent, we're proposing to spend $1.9 million of that. So another way, I guess, to look at this is this $830,000, we're going to leave on the table $370,000 worth of projects that aren't going to be completed. The items that aren't going to be completed are the items highlighted in yellow. So you've got the ground production monitoring, $14,000. The training for water master staff under the groundwater quality monitoring program of $3,800. The ground level monitoring program, $10,000. That's being forestalled until next year. Part of the land subsidence committee decided that these two items could be tabled until next year. Conducting the surface water monitoring program, that is assuming that the regional board doesn't require any future monitoring, so that would save $94,000. And then the cooperative efforts, this is part of the ABGL group. We had this originally budgeted about $160,000. We're only projecting that we're going to spend $20,000, so we're going to save about $140,000 there. And then this $19,000, we won't spend at all. So bottom line is, the budget that we're presenting today includes $1.9 million of these expenses.
If I could, I'm sorry, go back to that slide. Just so I understand it, maybe some of the other pool members. So what you did is you went through there and took a look at prioritizing projects based on what are we obligated to do versus what discretionary projects are in there. And if I heard you correctly, there was about 800,000, or is that 830 of them are discretionary?
And
I guess what staff's proposing is that we spend nearly 500,000 discretionary?
That is correct.
Mr. Chair.
Anthony?
Quick question, Joe. At the last meeting, or maybe the meeting before last, I recall we asked to put back in what Aruba is asking for the MZ3 work. Is it back in the program here?
The 170,000 is right there. It is back in there. I think if you recall, we had it's bounced anywhere between 70,000 or 100,000, but for purposes of this budget, it's in at 170,000.
Joe, can you describe on J there, defer until the proposed implementation plan can be vetted? What do you mean by that?
And
on the 170,000, there's a note there.
Defer the proposed implementation plan can be vetted.
I think that's just because the last time you saw this table, the 170,000 was out. And based upon the conversation that happened last time, we put it back in, but I think we just didn't update it.
Okay. Thanks.
So the G should not be there, is that it? The footnote should not be there, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what your dad is.
Okay.
One more question. Joe, I remember on the April 21st advisory meeting, we asked to see if it's possible to show another column reflecting for the different OPMP elements how water master staff cost allocation are directly to that. Has that been done yet? Or
yes, that's actually on the back table.
Okay.
So you basically take this formula and then drop in another column, which is the water master staff cost by category. And then we also went one step further. I think Raul wanted us to drop in the labor cost or the legal cost. And that table, while it's not part of this presentation, is provided in the back.
Okay, thank you.
I think so.
Comment? I think it does. John?
Go ahead, David.
Joe, on the $65,945 item pertaining to the Chino Creek well field extensometer?
Yes.
That note suggests to me that we simply haven't found a place to put the extensometer yet. And so for that reason, we're exercising discretion not to install the extensometer in a well that we haven't identified. If we were to find a well, or if we were to develop a well now along with the Chino Creek well field work, seems to me it would be prudent to put that money back in the budget. I don't recall from the Land Subsidence Committee meeting that I attended last that the committee decided to defer that work. There was still some lookups to be done, some research. Am I mistaken? Anyone comment on that?
Yeah, I'll comment, Dave. My recollection from the last Land Subsidence Committee meeting was that the committee decided to put back into the budget planning to install a cable extensometer, but not to put back in the budget the installation of the extensometer itself. Now, it certainly can be revisited.
The $65,000 is just the installation of the extensometer.
Yes.
It doesn't include the cost of the well, which is the major cost component of the entire installation.
The $65,000 is a cost estimate to install an extensometer in an existing well if it was located.
Okay.
To drill a new well and install a brand new extensometer is significantly more expensive.
Any more questions from Joe? In this slide?
We look at the budget assumptions on the OBMP side. Again, as I mentioned, 14.4% lower than the amended budget of $1.7 million. This does include the $204,000 for the groundwater model safe yield update. If you recall, we've applied $145,000 of an amended budget for this year, so we're able to get Wilderness started on this project this year. Cost for next year is estimated to be around $204,000. The what we call the regional board fine, which is really actually the administrative civil liability complaint with the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, say that three times fast, under account 6909, we're budgeting $25,000, which is basically the balance remaining of the $125,000, which was the regional board fine. If you recall, it's $250,000 split 50-50 between IUA and Watermaster. We basically, for this fiscal year, have taken care of $100,000 of that. So we're just leaving the balance out there to be paid, $25,000. On the legal side, a lot of discussion over the past month in regards to legal. Just a couple items I'd like to point out. If you look, you can see the black lines are basically what we have budgeted. The blue lines are actual. Basically, this time period is piece one. This period is, if you could call it normal, would be a normal period where there wasn't a lot of legal activity going on. This is piece two, and this is paragraph 31 and the result of negotiations. So as you can see, we four bubbles. There's three bubbles are above budget. This is basically a normal period. The budget, if you recall, last month, we had originally budgeted around $750,000. It was a legal budget of $500,000 and contingency of $250,000. We have dropped that back down to be exactly the same level of budget of what was approved this year, $595,000. Under the same scenario, our legal expenses are $450,000 split into these separate categories with a contingency of $145,000, which will only be used number one, if we need it, and number two, I would have to bring a transfer request to the pools through the advisory and the board to approve to utilize this $145,000. So again, the same budget, same process, same practice as what we had done last year. On the project side, 5.5% lower. We're projecting $226,000 below. As discussion a few minutes ago, there is $170,000 in here for the recharge master plan update. If this budget includes the $245,000 to repair the damage caused on that Christmas Day storm that went through, this was approved by the pools and the board on October 28th. So this amount is included in there. And at one point in time, this amount was around $160,000 for the South Archibald plume. We dropped it down to $20,000. On the pool side, for both the appropriated, the ag pool, and the non-ag pool, relatively the same exact amounts of what was budgeted the previous fiscal year. A couple of differences is in the appropriated pool, for the end of this fiscal year, you will have already used up your legal funds. So there's no carryover as we had done this year on the legal side for the appropriate pool. And on the non-ag pool, I'm estimating that there will be about $15,000 left of their $150,000. So they've spent $135,000 of their special assessment for legal, and they're requesting that this year we do a special assessment, non-ag pool members only, for $60,000. The Advisory and Water Master Board, basically the same budget, consistent with prior years. There's no large increases or no large decreases, $23,000 and $56,000. And then finally, the G&A side, we reduced the G&A by $172,000. A couple of the items that were not part of the acre per foot assessment, if you recall, again, as Ed mentioned, the $150,000 for the non-ag legal fund, that was not part, and the $63,000 is not part of the assessment, along with the $60,000. We had our receptionist resign the end of February, and we're not replacing that person. So our full-time equivalents went from 10.5 down to 9.5, and 9 full-time staff with 1 part-time. Because we have our scanning project, which is in the works right now, we're basically utilizing the cost savings when our receptionist left for the 3 months where we've hired a temp to come in and continue with the scanning process. Basically, we're in the process of scanning all of our documents. There's to be a fire, God forbid, that came through the building, all of these documents would be lost. So we're in the process of making sure that those are scanned and retained. We're estimating that for next year, we're gonna drop in 26 weeks for the scanning project. The CPI, it's still in there, 4%, and those numbers are based upon the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, from February of 08 through February 11.
Joe, can you hang on a second right there?
Sure. One quick question regarding the CPI, just out of curiosity. I know that if you look by, compare month to month, February to February, or March to March,
right,
the change could be very different. It fluctuates quite a bit.
It does. If we utilize the number March to March, this 4% would be closer to 4.6%.
Because I remember a lot of agencies use calendar year just to come to a more stable, more consistent comparison. I recall some of our local agencies, when we look at that, between 08 and 09, the CPI is actually a negative for this region, and between 09 and 10, calendar year, I think it's more in the tune of 1.2%. So we have negative, and you have 1.2%. I want to understand how we come up with the 4%.
That is correct. If we look at the period 08 to 09, it's a negative 0.5%. 09 to 010 is 1.81%, and 010 to 011 is 2.6%. So you add those two together, that's 4%. Again, if we look at March, that's almost 4.6%.
Okay. Well, again, we could look at that in a little bit more detail. I just want to point that out.
And I'm using the February because that's historically what's been used. Going further on to the G&A, there's no additional changes to the medical, dental, or vision benefits. They're staying basically the same plans what we had before. The CalPERS employer contribution is currently at 11.417%. It's being increased to 14.298%. We receive information from CalPERS every October of what we're required to put out there for the CalPERS employer portion. That's nothing that staff can change. That's nothing that anyone can change. It's a requirement from CalPERS, so that's increasing by another $27,000. We've gone back through and looked at all of the items within the G&A to ensure that every rock has been turned over. We've looked at our costs. Where can we save? What are we doing that we can trim some costs out? So we've looked at all of those items. If you recall from last year's budget, we talked about the voice IP system that we could use for digital voice communications. We could eliminate our phone system here and utilize, basically put our phone system on the backbone of our IP system. That could run anywhere between $25,000 to $40,000. We've scratched it again for this year, to potentially talk about it next year. Our new audit firm basically is at $9,000. There's no significant change there. And we've eliminated the water auction consulting and printing services for $30,000. And we've eliminated the strategic planning conference for $7,000.
Excuse me, Joe. I seem to, as I went through there was a pretty substantial jump in conferences. Could you maybe touch on that, or do you have that information available to you?
If on the in category, I believe it will probably be, 6190? Yeah, if you look at account number 6191, we had $11,000 from the amended budget last year. We also had training and continuing education of $5,000. So that basically was $16,000 with those lines combined. We've moved some of the money from training and continuing education up into conferences and seminars. So it's more or less moving around. But actually, if you look at that category, the conferences and seminars were actually $5,500 less this year than what we had for the budget last year.
Joe, I got a question. Do you have your total salary load available or online?
Yes, I can tell you that. I believe it's $988,000.
All right, thank you.
$988,000. And the next steps, if it's so approvable or approved by the pool today, then we'll continue with this budget through the non-ag and the ag pool, along for discussion with the advisory and the board. If the pool chooses not to approve this budget today, then what we'll do is we'll continue to still present this to the non-ag and the ag. But we have a workshop scheduled for May 19th where we can work some more to refine these numbers. And if that's required, then we'll bring a new revised budget through the June process.
Okay, pool comments?
If I recall right, I thought there were more issues still unresolved. I thought actually contingency reductions for the engineering portion was actually a little higher for some reason. And then I also thought that there was an issue with the amount of contingency for the legal budget. I could be wrong, but I seem to recall a number like for engineering reductions somewhere around the area of about $460,000. There was something about possible discussion on some over excess revenue or something to return it back to appropriators. Maybe I misunderstood.
Did I miss that? That's actually calculated in the assessment for this year. As part of this calculation down here, we're providing back $200,000.
Well, how much of that those reserve funds are actually from previous years?
They're estimated somewhere around 2.5 million to 3 million potentially that could be out there available for return. We won't know that. We won't know a final hard number until we actually physically get the financials closed for this year.
Well, I mean, I have a couple of questions.
I don't think that answered your question.
Well, no, but we have parties missing today. I know they had conflicts that were unavoidable, and I think this is something that needs some consideration because there's potentially a lot of money there that could be returned to the parties. You know, I think that there's a growing sentiment that if there's excess money that was collected in prior years, rather than just applying it or holding on, have Watermaster hold on to it or applying it to reduce assessments is not the approach we'd like to take, or I'd like to take. And we'd like to give some consideration, or at least, you know, beg the question that how much money is there that could potentially be returned to the parties? Because frankly, we all have, you know, financial needs and demands on our budgets right now also. And so I think that's something that we need to talk about and get a little more clarity on.
Answer your question a little bit as it relates, it's kind of more of an assessment package question. Right now, we've gone back to basically the old way, the way it was done 5 years ago, because that's the request we heard out of you. And the way it would have been done is whatever was underspent, you know, the year that just closed would be given back to the parties, would be basically carried over. So Joe's estimated that we'll probably be underspending this year's budget by $200,000, maybe even more than that, but to be safe, $200,000. So we've gone ahead and given back that $200,000 here. Now, available reserves that aren't, or available excess reserves, shall we call it, that aren't part of the 30%, there's another million or two on top of that. We won't know exactly until we close out the year. We didn't include that as part of this calculation because we heard you guys loud and clear say before that you don't want that to be, you know, offsetting assessments. You don't want it to be a miracle cure, I think is what I heard. So we figured that discussion could happen later. It has to happen sometime before assessment package time. That's really more of an assessment package discussion, and it could be given back then through the assessment package. It could be spread across over a few years to offset assessments over a few years. It could go toward replenishment water. There's a variety of options for that money, but for what you see right here, it's just $200,000 of the excess being given back because that is what we expect to underspend this year, which is going back to the old way of doing things. Does that answer your question?
Well, sort of. I guess I'm not comfortable with the idea of going back to the old way of doing things as opposed to creating a new way of looking at the situation as we move forward to address our future needs. You know, so it's not one box or the other. I mean, I think we have to have some discussion about it. Maybe your point is valid that, and maybe it's not something we need to decide right now. The key thing is that it's not being used to reduce the assessments. But I think that there needs to be some continued discussion about that because I think you might get different answers from the rest of the parties. But I know that Cucamonga would give significant consideration to wanting to potentially get some of that money back. So something to be looked at. The other, just a couple of other things. I mean, we're making progress, and I want to thank you for all the work that you've done. And you know, it's really easy to sit here and pick and start, you know, looking at things with a microscope. But I think that's how we're, you know, at CVWD, that's how we're managing our money. That's how we're managing our budgets. So I think it's appropriate when something has such a significant impact on our ratepayers that we give the same consideration to, you know, these types of budgets. So with that being said, that I think one of the other things was related to contingency. Raul mentioned it. And we had, as I recall, we had pretty lengthy discussion about it and the need for it. And we've done it in the past. And, you know, having the contingency, sure, we've got to do budget transfers, but it sort of takes the pressure off when you know the money's there and it can be transferred. We can still have the discussion, but we might think twice about spending legal money on legal services if the money's not budgeted. And so, I think I would express a desire that we seek to eliminate the contingencies if they're built into the budget. And just one last point. I know it's a minor thing, but it's a detail, and it's hard for me to get my hands around the concept of a COLA. It's not a lot of money, but when our agency hasn't had COLAs in 3 years, and I think there's probably many others that haven't either. We haven't budgeted for any this year. To support one thing and then do something else in your own agency just creates a conflict. And it's hard for me to get my hands around that and really support it, especially in this time. So that's all.
David?
I have a question for, I guess, Marty, with respect to the potential give back of funds that are on hand. Would it be helpful to have, say, at the upcoming workshop, some description by agency of the amount that would be coming back based on certain criteria?
I think that would be really helpful. And it maybe doesn't need to be done by the next workshop, to take Danny's point. It's not mission critical. We just want to make sure it's not in the bucket that's being used to balance the budget. I think that would be helpful. Oh, just one other thing I was just thinking as you said that, Dave, that one of the things that's been challenging for me is we've been talking about it and we've been having conversations. I've talked with Mark Kinsey and others, and so when we started this journey, we had a budget proposal that had numbers in it. And there's been a significant amount of work that's been done, reductions that have been made. But I'm finding it difficult to track how they compare. How does the present proposal, I know the numbers are all there, but I'm finding it hard to track how the numbers compare to the original proposal so that we can see what the real impact is, side by side.
I have a chart that shows that.
That would be really helpful.
The original budget, I believe, was around $7.1 million. And it's now down to 6.2, but I do have a chart. I didn't include it in this presentation because it does. It becomes very confusing because we've gone through four or five different gyrations of the budget, but I can pass that out or post it on the FTP site.
That would be great. It would be helpful for me, and I think I'm seeing some heads nod, and I think everybody, others would benefit from it too. So thank you.
Any other pool comments? Seeing none, I have a couple. And again, I'd like to echo Marty's comments that, hey, we really do appreciate staff and all the hard work you guys have done. it's not easy. We know it's not easy because we're all doing the same things. And I do think we have made significant progress. But having said that, I think that there's still a little bit of work to be done before we can approve or move this item. Personally, I'd like to see, and I think you did a pretty good job of going through especially the engineering projects and identifying the things that we need to do and the things we'd like to do. But I do think that even the way it's laid out right now, there's still a lot of discussion, I think, that should occur, given the fact that we're still spending, close to $500,000 discretionarily. I know that there's members that I've talked to that like to see a little bit more work done on really prioritizing that. From a couple standpoints, one, what are we going to get the biggest bang for our buck on? And two, what can we actually do this year? Year after year, these budgets are include projects that we know we're not going to get to, or we hope we'll get to, but we never end up getting to, and that money ends up getting rolled over or rebudgeted. And I'd really like to see a lot of effort or a little bit more effort on going through those line items to make sure that, A, it's worthy of budgeting this year, and B, it can be accomplished this year. So I know we're getting there, but I think there's just a little bit more fine-tuning to do. Secondly, in terms of the legal, And I remember the conversation similar to what the other pool members have said, that I thought we were to the point where we're going to get rid of the entire contingency. And quite frankly, I'd like to take it even one step further. And I know we keep looking back at how much money we've spent on legal over the years. But I don't think that, though we've spent it, I don't think that that should be where we start. I think that there should be some thought and some work put into significantly structurally reducing the amount of money we spend on legal. And to look at last year and say, well, we spent $800,000 or whatever it may be, and use that as a benchmark on a go-forward basis, I think is irresponsible. And I think that there should be some more effort put into, you know, what are we spending our money on legal now, and what should we be spending on in the future? So I'd appreciate it if we maybe put a little effort into those areas. Anthony?
Joe, help me here. We don't have to act on the budget today, correct? We could. There's no reason for us to act on it?
That is correct.
Okay.
Is there any motion to approve this, or any motion out there? Hang a sec, Mohammed.
I move to continue this to the month of June.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks again, staff. I know you're working hard. Sorry, let me catch up here. Okay, I think we're back to item 3B, engineering reports.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I have two items on here. One is GE Flatiron injection project that we are currently looking at with regards to the potential for material physical injury. I don't have anything to update you on. I've reported on this in the past, but I don't have anything to update you with today. We are still looking at it, and we should have some results within the next week or two. So I'll be back to report at a future date on that. The second item is the annual report for the Chino Basin Maximum Benefit Monitoring Program. This is an annual report that goes out each year. Sometimes we call this Maximum Benefit Monitoring Program by the name of the Hydraulic Control Monitoring Program. Essentially, what we're doing is we're looking at the groundwater hydrology and the surface water hydrology in the southern end of the basin. We're looking at the DeSalter well field and how the pumping there is changing that hydrology with respect to hydraulic control. I think I can move through here. Can you go to the next slide for me, please? And just as a matter of background, the hydraulic control monitoring program and the annual reporting is a commitment that Watermaster and IUA made to the regional board. It's written in the basin plan. The reason why it's a commitment is it was an exchange for the maximum benefit groundwater quality objectives for the Chino North management zone. The regional board artificially raised those water quality objectives to create a sim of capacity and allow for all the recycled water recharge and reuse that's occurring in the Chino North management zone without mitigation. But in exchange for that, they wanted this monitoring program implemented in annual reporting. Hydraulic control is this whole concept at the southern end of the basin for the desalters to lower groundwater levels and limit the amount of rising groundwater outflow that occurs down in the Prado Basin area. That groundwater there is highly contaminated with TDS and nitrogen specifically. The whole concept there for the regional board is to protect the water quality of the Santa Ana River, which obviously flows down to Orange County, is recharged there, and ultimately becomes a source of drinking water. So the reviewers of this report are the regional board staff and specifically Orange County Water District. They give a high level of scrutiny to this report and this program, so they look at it closely. This is the southern end of the basin here, and this is one of the main figures from the monitoring program report. What you see here in the white squares are the desalter wells. This is Chino 1 and Chino 2 up here. All these other squares with numbers by them are wells that we're monitoring groundwater levels at, and the numbers are the groundwater level elevation. We use that information to draw these brown lines, the contours of groundwater elevation, which show us which direction groundwater is flowing. So I've drawn a couple of arrows on here just to demonstrate that a groundwater molecule in this area right here would flow south perpendicular to these contours and would be intercepted and pumped by the desalter wells in this region right here. These contours down here by the Santa Ana River are indicating that Santa Ana River water is recharging and then flowing to the west towards the desalter wells here to be pumped. Possibly some of this water is flowing in this direction to flow down into Prado Basin here. What we see in this region right here are all these localized and regional cones of depression here around the desalter well fields, which is showing that all the water in Chino North in this area is flowing south and being intercepted by the desalter well field here. This is a demonstration of hydraulic control. Over on this side of the basin here, represented by this arrow, the groundwater is flowing south but is not being intercepted by the desalter wells and is flowing south into Prado Basin, where it can become rising groundwater down in this region here. This is the area where the Chino Creek well field is being installed and is meant to cause this area to look like this area, so to cause drawdown and complete the job of hydraulic control in this area. Looks like this is a another line of evidence that we use. Sherry Lynn, can you go back to the last slide, and then I'm going to come back to this one. We're looking specifically at this area. This is the so-called South Archibald TCE plume, and it terminates here in the desalter well field. We look at water quality down in this area to see if the desalter well field is creating a barrier for this plume, and that would indicate that hydraulic control is being achieved in this area. So we look at the water quality down in this area as another line of evidence for hydraulic control. And so what you're seeing here, these desalter wells in the white squares, and if you see a circle, an open circle, that means non-detect for TCE. Where you see a blue dot, that means it's detected but less than 2.5 micrograms per liter. The MCL is 5 micrograms per liter, so these are lower detection but lower than the MCL. This is 5 to 10 micrograms per liter there. So this is showing that the desalter wells here have not allowed this plume to migrate any further to the south. You can see we probably need to realign and do some adjustment to our plume delineation as we currently have it here based on the most recent data. We've zoomed back out here to look at change in groundwater levels from 2000, when the desalters first came online, to 2010. What we're looking here in the color shading is that the red is showing where groundwater levels have declined. The green is showing where groundwater levels have risen over this time period. So, and then we have some contours here to show you the magnitude of drawdown or recovery of water levels over this time period. Around the Chino 2 desalter well field, that's where most of the drawdown has occurred, up to about 60 feet of drawdown. We also plotted on here all these green dots and red dots are wells showing either a increase in production or a decrease in production from 2000 to 2010. The green wells indicate that production has decreased. The red dots indicate that groundwater production has increased from those wells. So you can see most of the increase here has occurred at the desalter wells. A lot of the private ag wells have either disappeared or have reduced production. So what this tells us is that all this drawdown here is primarily due to the desalter well pumping in this region. And we can see this cone of depression has extended out all the way towards the Santa Ana River, which we believe is inducing recharge into the groundwater basin. This is exactly how it was modeled and planned to occur, so it's encouraging to see that result. Over here on the west side, where we think we do not have hydraulic control, we actually have seen groundwater levels increase in this area. We do have desalter wells over here, but they're perforated in the deep aquifer system, not in the shallow aquifer system, which is what this map is depicting. But generally, we've had lower production over in this area. We have also brought in recycled water in this area on CIM property, and we've been using recycled water for irrigation, not a whole lot, but some. And as a result, groundwater levels have increased over in this area. And again, the Chino Creek desalter well field is meant to come in here and turn this area from green into red and cause a lot of drawdown. This map here, sure.
That last slide. You show the cone of depression to the east that's drawing water from the Santa Ana River, showing the hydraulic control. Now, what's keeping the cone of depression affecting the rising groundwater on the west side? Is it more the consolidation of the soil? Why isn't that not being affected as well?
We believe that you're asking why haven't we experienced a lot of drawdown in this area?
Yeah, why isn't that as orange as the easterly side of the desalter?
Yeah. The reason is that we don't have the desalter wells over here, and we are building new ones over here to pump more groundwater. So the reason being is that there's less agricultural pumping in this area. This area is urbanized out. There's been no new big municipal wells that have come in there to replace them. That's what the desalter wells will do, is they'll come in and start pumping groundwater over here and cause drawdown and hopefully turn this green area into red, and we can demonstrate to the regional board that we have hydraulic control. Right now, we can only say that we have hydraulic control in the eastern part of the area. We don't have it here. This map shows depth to groundwater, and this is not 2000 and 2010. That's my typo. This is for 2010, depth to groundwater. And the important thing to show here is that within this black line that you see down here along Chino Creek and stretching up Chino Creek here, stretching up Mill Creek right here, this is where depth to water is less than zero. So actually the water table is intersecting the ground surface in this area, and this is where we believe rising groundwater is occurring and contributing to surface flow in Chino Creek and in Mill Creek and in the Santa Ana River down here. So what we're basically doing here is subtracting the groundwater surface from the ground surface and coming up with a depth to groundwater map. So this is just identifying the areas where we believe that the rising groundwater is occurring. One of the last things that we do in this report is we take a look at our groundwater flow model, WaterMaster's groundwater flow model, and we look at what it predicts in 2010 the groundwater flow regime should look like and compare it to what we're measuring with the groundwater levels out there. And so what you see in these small arrows here is what the model is predicting, and the contours are the measured values. And so I'll just point out a few things. The model is predicting that we're having groundwater recharge here in the Santa Ana River, and it's flowing towards the desalter wells just as it's being measured. It's also showing groundwater flowing south and being intercepted by the desalter wells over here in the eastern part of the area. And it's also showing groundwater flowing south past this area, coming down into Prado Basin, where you see the arrows converge on the streams like Mill Creek and Chino Creek down here. That's an indication that the model is saying that rising groundwater is occurring in these areas. So the model is corroborating what the measured information is showing us too. So it's just a corroborating line of evidence that we do have hydraulic control here, but not in this western part. So the main conclusion is just what I stated. The Chino Creek well field is intended to finish the job of hydraulic control. This report is the technical documentation that supports recommendations. We've made recommendations to the regional board in the past that the surface water monitoring that we're doing along the Santa Ana River is not useful to us. Please give us relief from that. You could see earlier by Joe's presentation that that's on the order, relief of that surface water monitoring is on the order of $100,000 a year. The regional board uses this report as the technical backup to say, okay, yeah, we agree with you and we'll give you relief. We've had meetings with the regional board. They are trying to accelerate the basin plan amendment process with special regard to this monitoring program so that we do get relief from that as soon as possible. And that's the end of what I have, unless there are any questions.
Andy, what is the status of the Chino Creek wells right now? I know that they were in progress. Where are they at?
Two have been drilled. Mm-hmm. One has been test pumped. The other has not because the water that it will be pumping is right in the middle of the Chino Airport plume, and so it has those contaminants within it. They're finding it difficult to work with the regional board and get a de minimis discharge permit, so there's going to need to be some special things done there to treat the water before they discharge it to mm-hmm. conduct that pumping test. They have the four other sites identified, and I believe that they've got those locked down as far as being able to go on site and drill, and they're getting close to doing that.
So are we still on schedule?
That I don't have a hard answer to. Desi, you were at the regional board yesterday. Do you want to comment?
I did attend a meeting at the regional board's offices, and we're behind schedule, and there's a revised schedule that's being prepared that will be submitted to the regional board. And beyond saying that much, I don't know how far behind schedule we are. But when we have that revised schedule put together, we can share it with the group.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Andy?
Thank you, Andy.
Mm-hmm. CEO and staff report.
Okay, with respect to the staff reports, I'm going to let Danny go through these three.
Recharge update, and we don't have the new numbers in for April yet. We will have them by the advisory committee meeting. I can tell you that as of March, we had recharged just over 16,000 acre feet of stormwater and almost 5,300 acre feet of recycled water for a total of 21,386. But again, we will have that update for you by the advisory committee meeting. Also, the second item listed on there is the MWD replenishment rate water. As I believe you heard me before at advisory or the board meeting, MWD had a special board meeting about a week ago, and they were expected to make an announcement that they were going to offer somewhere between 200,000 and 250,000 acre feet of water at the replenishment rate. Just going to be kind of one-time, only temporary thing. They did not make that action at the meeting and have deferred it till their May 10th meeting. We're still hoping that they will do that, that they will offer that water at the replenishment rate, but we'll have to wait and see what happens at the May 10th meeting. I know that at least one appropriator has expressed an interest in purchasing some of that water as a pre-purchase against future overproduction. As you know, Watermaster, you know, as you just heard from Joe, we don't have a lot of money in reserves. You know, there's that $1 million or $2 million that's out there that will be given back to you in some fashion. But beyond that, there is no reserves. We don't have money to buy the replenishment water. So it would be up to each appropriator to, you know, if they wanted to do it. The replacement rate is $409 an acre foot plus the $14 for the IUA and OCWD charges. So I guess let Watermaster know if you're interested.
If I could interrupt, Danny. With respect to that, I think it would probably be a benefit to everybody if we were in a position to buy as much water as we possibly could. Realistically, there's not any not very much money in terms of reserves available to buy replenishment water. And I don't know an awful lot here, but I do understand that you guys are amicable to special assessments from time to time. So this might be a time where you might want to consider authorizing Water Master to go out and see how much water can be purchased with the anticipation that a special assessment would be imposed in order to buy water. These kinds of opportunities don't come along very frequently. As you all know, Met has not had a replenishment rate for many years, and they're not predisposed to having a replenishment rate. This year, there is so much water out there that, and they do need additional revenue, that they're going to have a replenishment rate available. And it would probably behoove the basin to really be able to take advantage of that situation.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Marty.
We've had some discussion about this, and I think that, you know, we have, not only do we have, you know, maybe our present needs have been met, but we have, you know, needs that we're going to have in the future, and we've got issues with desalter replenishment and all kinds of, you know, mounting obligations. And I know, you know, time is short here. Their Met's meeting next Tuesday, I guess, and so we really, it's not like we can rally the troops and have a meeting anytime between now and then. Some of us are going to be gone at Aqua next week, but do we have any indication or from IUA as to how much and how quickly that water might go? So if we make a commitment, as whether it's as, you know, parties in the basin or individually or through IUA, how quickly do we need to react and make that decision?
I've heard about 200 to 250,000 acre feet. I don't know if there's a more updated number than that. And the how quickly issue, we had a meeting with MWD regarding dryer yield issues, and this topic came up, and they didn't seem to expect it to go that quickly. But when we discussed this at the last meeting here, either at the advisory or board, you know, Bob Bocock in particular thought it was going to go very quickly. So.
Well, and that's what makes me nervous, is that, you know, it could. And I have a feeling that there are many basins out there that have obligations where they have to replenish. They don't have the ability to cure, you know, have a Curo and so forth. So if we're not, I'm afraid that if we're not prepared to act and make a call on that water in some amount, then we might miss the boat.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. What Met has said is that there's 200, maybe 225. Acre feet available, and based on their little poll survey of agencies, 150 to 200 is the amount that people have said that they were interested in. Realistically and physically, that's probably on the high side, just in terms of Met capacity and recharge basin for various groundwater basins. So, and the timing, I think, is through the calendar year, is what Metropolitan was initially looking at.
Well, and I'm sorry, did you say how much? Have you guys indicated how much IUA is interested in?
Yeah. We looked at it, and Andy Campbell thinks we could maybe do about 8,000 acre feet per month. So we thought maybe around 40 to 50,000 acre feet,
okay,
realistically, is what we could do. That takes into a small percentage of in lieu. Most of that would be direct spreading.
Have you guys thought about or talked about how it's going to be funded or...
Yeah, we've got the comment from Fontana Water Company that they may be willing to pay for some of that. But at IUA, we're actually looking at ways we can finance that and find the money to pay for it up front.
Okay, keep us in mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Dang it. Dave, did you have a question?
It's been answered.
Anthony?
Real quick, I think at the last budget workshop meeting, it was very clear, not only Mr. Bocock, but I think Fontana Water Company and a number of others all expressed the same interest, not only on behalf of the individual agency, but on behalf of Chino Basin family, and that we want to go after this replenishment water if so they're available. The question becomes, I guess we need to have our act together so that when it becomes available, we know how to act. I think it may be a good idea if we give some direction to our CEO, our new CEO, to work with IUA and Three Valley, who is member agencies, to figure how do we strategize and move quickly I know a lot of agency wants the water. So I just want to see how everybody feels about it.
Ryan, did you have another comment?
Yeah, I was just going to add on to that. We've had a few conversations with Daniel over the last couple months, but yeah, we would like to work with Watermaster and you guys to come up with a future replenishment program or whatever you want to call it, because who knows when and how the water is going to be available.
I can't see the light. I know that there's, and I've had discussions with Mark Wildermuth, and I know that there's some issues related to, you know, storage and of supplemental water, and our backs against the wall on the 100,000 acre feet, and I'm just concerned that, you know, things like that, I'm concerned about things like that getting in the way, and you know, we need to think those through. We need to have the discussions, because we need to remove the obstacles, at least in our minds, so that we don't, you know, miss the opportunity. So if it's, whether it's, you know, water that's purchased on behalf of all the parties in the basin and IUA figures out how to finance it, or whether individual parties, express a desire to purchase it, and then what do we do with the water once it gets in the ground? Where does it go? And is there room in the supplemental water storage account, or do we need to make special consideration for, you know, future deferral of replenishment obligation, you know, desalter replenishment obligations? These are things that we have to talk about, but we're not going to get it worked out in a week. And I just don't want it to get in the way of us, you know, getting the water in the ground.
I think realistically, though, I mean, we'd be limited. How much water do you think we'd be able to take from on a daily basis or on a monthly basis? Because they're extended through the end of the year. I think we're restrained physically in how much we can get. 8,000 acre feet.
Yeah, Campbell took a look at it, and the available basins, it comes up to about 8,000 acre feet per month.
Per month?
So conservatively, we said 40 to 50,000 acre feet total is what we might have to use to be.
She's going to be here.
As of the last assessment package, there was 30,000 acre feet of supplemental water that counted toward the 100,000 cap. So we have 70,000 acre feet available space, supplemental water space. That part is not an issue, at least for this immediate water. So the storage accounts need to be worked out.
Well, I think what you're hearing from the appropriators, and I'm sure from all of Watermaster's family, that there's an interest out there, and Desi, maybe you could get your mind around it and work with staff and Ryan and IUA, and maybe come up with a couple, you know, strategies that we could all contemplate. It might even take a workshop or something in the next few weeks to kind of get people talking about it. And, you know, given the time constraint, I think we'd all be willing to work with you and make time on our calendars. But this is an opportunity that may not be out there for very long, and I'd hate to look back and say we missed a boat.
I appreciate that, and we will work with IUA. Just knowing from other basins that there is an awful lot of interest out there once the water is made available, I think that it will be subscribed to pretty aggressively. And a lot of people did not think this was going to happen, but as the reality of it happening is coming to pass, there's a lot of people all of a sudden lining up to trying to get some of that water.
One other thing I just want everybody to be aware of, right now with Metis Baldwin, there is a replenishment work group or task force put together to take a look at the existing program. There are a number of member agencies that don't approve or don't like the program, so it could be changing in the very near future. This task force is supposed to come up with a recommendation by the end of this calendar year. So this, the way the program works, most likely will change.
Yeah. Were there any more discussion, Ryan, since we last met regarding Met's consideration on some of the in-lieu program in terms of possible change of the terms? Any more progress on that particular element?
Try your
yield and the whole pool water band of ground and all that.
Well, for dry year yield, we're working on scenarios with Metropolitan of what's realistic and what's not based on what they want out of the program. In terms of in lieu, that's part of the concern with the replenishment program. For example, LA can't really take advantage of the replenishment program, so they look at it like a groundwater agency. They're just getting discounted water. They don't see the regional benefit necessarily. That's a short and sweet version of it, but that's the kind of problem they run into in developing a new type of replenishment program. So the idea of in lieu is definitely still out there. It will be life one way or another. What the terms are, they may change.
Oh, especially go through it. Yeah. You already said they can do it.
All right, Desi, well, maybe we have to just fall under IUA if they're going to go out there and work something out with them later on. If they're willing to write the check. Thanks, Brian.
I didn't say that.
I kind of heard that, didn't you?
I remember from Tonawanda a couple of times to write the check.
I think the important thing is don't let that get in the way. I mean, you know, okay. Thank you.
Danny?
Number three, fiscal year 2010-11 land use conversions and voluntary agreements. If your agency is one of those that does participate in either to receive land use conversions or has voluntary agreements or assignments, you should have either just received a letter or will be receiving a letter any day now that is asking for any new voluntary agreement information and any new land use conversion information or assignment information. We'll, of course, actually collect the numbers associated with voluntary agreements and assignments at the close of the fiscal year with the fourth quarter production. But if you have any new ones, we need to start looking at them, and if there's any new land use conversions, we need to get out there to inspect the property. I don't know if the things being the way they are, I don't know how much development's actually happened in the last year, but please do get that. And please fill out the form either way. You know, we've updated the land use conversion form so that if you didn't have any new conversion, there's an easy checkbox for you now. You just get to say no new conversion instead of trying to dig up last year's number and re-report the same number. So just a reminder that we need that by the end of the month. And then I'll just add one more quick thing on there, and you probably noticed all the parking signs out there. We've had complaints from the neighbor across the street that on Thursdays when we have a lot of cars here for meetings that apparently the street cleaners come on Thursdays as well. So his side of the street isn't getting cleaned because it's blocked with cars. And then after he's complained like two or three times, now the mail carrier came over here and left us a notice that she can't get to his mailbox because the cars are blocking his mailbox. So we're just asking the, I guess, good neighbors and park either on this side of San Bernardino Road or on the side street there in our front parking lot. We're also opening, we have a huge back parking lot there, and we're opening up that gate. So you're welcome to park back there too. But we'd like to not have our upset neighbor be over here every Thursday. So we appreciate it if you could not park in front of this house. And that's all I have. Thanks.
That big old Capri.
All righty. So it looks like there's the information item there. There's cash disbursements and newspaper articles. I suspect those are on the back counter. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there any other business?
Yeah, well, a little comment. With regard to a recent email we received not too long ago, I think it was dealing with a management consultant. My concern is that the use of the Watermaster distribution list is not really designed for that. So I would ask, I'm not sure how we stop that, but I don't think it's appropriate use. It was somebody had said something about management consultant. I forgot the gentleman's name.
Board chair.
Our board chair, Mr. Ken Willis, requested that go out. Yeah, I know.
What I'm saying is that I don't think it was designed for that. So I don't know how we address that. Maybe the new CEO can deal with
that. What
are
you saying, Paul?
I'm saying that... I don't think it's appropriate to use that list for that in that fashion, so I would ask that it not be done.
Okay, we'll look into that.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other pool member comments? Down there? If there's none, I'd like to first of all welcome Desi to Watermaster. We're happy to have you here, and we look forward to working with you in the future. And I'd also like to make an announcement. We are having our appropriated pool kind of workshop/study session on the 24th of May, which is coming right up. I believe it's from 8 to 2, and we're having that at the Cucamonga Valley Water District Frontier Project Room, or is that what it's called? The Frontier Project.
Or you can drink alcohol?
No alcohol that day. So, but if you could make time in your busy schedules, it'd be really appreciated, and hopefully we can get together and talk about some things on a go-forward basis. So please make time to do that. And if you could RSVP, I think some emails have been sent out.
I'm going to do
Okay, and obviously, Desi, you're invited as well.
Well, thank you. And I am glad to be here. I'm looking forward to working with all of you and starting to understand some of the niceties of this complex organization.
All right. With that, we're going to go into confidential session. So if we could adjourn into confidential session, I'd appreciate it. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there more?
It's the 24th.
Correct, 24th. Okay.
Do we leave?
Yeah.
Brave man.
All right, we're going to go ahead and reconvene into open session, and there is no reportable action taken in closed session, so with that, we'll adjourn. Thank you.
All righty, man.
So where are we going after this? Next year?